Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Richard W. Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he's written 10 books about video poker, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Richard W. Munchkin has played blackjack, backgammon, and poker professionally, and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob, along with Richard, and we're both in the studio. Also in the studio is our guest tonight, Ed Miller, big poker writer. We'll be talking to him later. He may, we'll introduce him properly at the time. He may speak up between now and then if he finds anything he wants to talk about. Before we get started tonight, I found out less than an hour ago that my father passed away less than 2 hours ago. I think I'm going to be okay tonight. And I may break out crying at 7:30. I don't know. But if it does happen that way, you know what's going on. And but I think we're going to be fine. So, a couple weeks ago, actually, I'm going to throw it over to Richard while I compose myself. Easy Baccarat.
Okay.
It's a game that you find in some casinos, and Michael Shackelford posted an article about it. What is this?
So for 30 years at least, people have been trying to solve the problem of the commissions in Baccarat, right?
Uh-huh.
This is a big pain to the casinos because it really, really slows the game down.
The 5% on winning banker bets.
Yes, when the bank wins, the winning bet pays a 5% commission. The casino has to keep track of all those commissions. It takes a lot of time. They got to make change. It's a big pain. So there have been various versions of Baccarat where they've tried to eliminate the commission. The one that's popular right now is called Easy Baccarat. And they came up with a pretty good method of penalizing the bank so that the banker wouldn't have an edge. And that method is when the bank has a winning hand with a total of 7, a bank bet gets a push. But there are no commissions involved. And this gives the house edge on the banker 1.018, something like that. 1.01, something like that. So it's still 1% game.
And the betting on the players is slightly more, but about the same?
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
As an extra feature, they allow you to bet on this happening, the chance that the bank is going to win the hand with a 3-card total of 7. And they pay that bet off at 40-1. Michael Shackelford at Wizard of Odds published the article, but it was actually written by a guy named Elliot Jacobson.
Yes.
And so Elliot wrote this article about this bet being exploitable through counting cards.
A relatively simple counting system.
Yeah, relatively simple. And often you find side bets like this that are exploitable by counting. But for professionals, they're really not of much interest because the limits are always so low. In this case, you find limits of $100, but you only have an edge on this bet about 9% of the time. A Baccarat shoe, an 8-deck shoe, you usually get 80 hands. So we're talking about 7 bets per shoe.
Per hour, sort of.
Yeah, because Baccarat is a slow game, 1 shoe per hour. So you get 7 bets, and you have an 8% edge on those bets.
So maybe $60 an hour profit ability on this bet if you just bet this side bet and don't bet anything else.
Right. Now, of course, the casinos freaked out when they saw the article and immediately wanted to pull the game out of all the casinos. But Elliot sort of went back and said, well, nobody's going to bother counting this thing because the amount of bankroll you would need to bet this is in the six figures.
As in 150 or 200,000, something in that range.
Right. And I don't have the exact figure yet. I'm still working on that. But I'll have it for our listeners next week. If you're interested in attacking this game, I'll let you know how much money you need to do that. Also, I think that the casinos would notice a bunch of guys hanging around the baccarat tables, not playing, and then near the end of the shoe, suddenly jumping in to bet the tie bet. You know,
at table max.
Well,
it's not the
max on that bet is $100. I mean, on baccarat, the table max is often... You know,
well, I don't know that the max bet. I think that the Elliot Jacobson article said if the bet max were $100, then these would be the numbers. So it could have been a casino only offers a $25 bet. Or
It could be lower. I haven't heard of any places that have a higher max. So, with a higher max, some professionals might be interested. Yeah, but... nobody with a $200,000 bankroll is going to go running around looking for a game that's worth $50 an hour.
I don't know. Some of us video poker players play games worth less than that. So, good. All right. So, and it's on the, if you want to read about it, it's the Wizard of Odds website called, the Easy Baccarat?
Easy, yeah. The letters, Easy Baccarat.
All right. A few weeks ago, we were talking about IDs, where somebody moves to Vegas and gets a new ID but keeps their old ID from Texas or something like this. And it'd be useful if you could do it because some casinos it's better to have a local ID and some casinos it's better to have an out-of-state ID. In my classes last Wednesday, somebody came up to me and showed me a Nevada seasonal resident ID. It looks very much like a driver's license. And it says seasonal resident on it. And there's some rules that you only can be here part-time, that you can't work. And although playing Advantage gambling does apparently not consider work, although I assure you it is. But casinos accept it. You can get a slot club card with it. And you can pay a W-2G and show that as ID. So it is conceivable. So you can have both a Nevada... legally, a Nevada ID and a Oklahoma ID, should that be the case?
You know, I if I ever get a player's card, I always use a passport so I can say I'm from anywhere I want. Passports don't have your address in
it. Yes, that's true. And that's good. You can say that. So, okay. One of our sponsors is the South Point, and they have come out with a poker site, an online poker site, where they have new online games starting every 4 minutes or something. So you can play a lot. You can play it whenever you're up and down, hundreds of times a day. Some of them are free. Some of them cost you 500 points, which is worth a buck and a half at that casino. And the prizes, they say they're giving away $100,000 a month on this. But apparently it's legal because you're not paying cash for it. So, Richard, you have signed up for it and you've looked at it a little bit. What do you find out about that?
Well, you know, this is the period they want to work out their kinks before the law changes. Everybody assumes the law is going to change sooner rather than later. And so they want to be ready. And, you know, I think this is a good plan on their part. It's not great software yet. You know, they need to iron out some of the kinks. You know, I found it hard to read some of the numbers, you know, the amount of money people had, the amounts of their bets. Sometimes it was hard to tell who was still in a hand and who was not because the color of the backs of the cards.
Well, I wasn't in the hand.
Right. So, I mean, but that's what this period is for. And I should point out that, you know, that $1.50, they give you points just for logging in every day. So, now, I don't know if those points are transferable into your dollar and a half.
I don't know either. You know. So, but I would have – now, I haven't played online poker. So, I would have assumed that there was – several standard software packages out there that are on several respected...
Well, there are. And now in California, the card rooms and Indians have banded together, and they have opened their own site now called CalShark. And they went with one of the established software makers, Playtech, and their software is actually much better and allows you to play in a browser. If you don't want to download anything, you can do either one. The graphics are much better. They have some bugs, too. They have a very annoying little clock that counts down in front of every player before they make a bet. Another problem with the South Point software is every window that you have with them has advertising all around it that flashes. So when you're trying to look at a hand and make a decision, you have all these flashing advertising things that really can get kind of annoying. So hopefully they'll work those things out.
That doesn't sound like one they're eager to work out, but that one they're likely to keep the ads out there.
I don't know. They might learn, or at least they might learn to not have them flash.
So I know a few people at the South Point, so I can suggest they have open for suggestions on how to make their site better and find out how to do that. It sounds like you have some suggestions.
Good. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Ed Miller. Ed Miller received 2 degrees from MIT, but somehow avoided the MIT blackjack team, I think because he was born too late. After graduation, he worked for Microsoft for a time and played poker on the side. Soon thereafter, he decided to move to Las Vegas and play poker full-time. I think I'm simplifying a little bit. He's written 6 books on poker and has sold more than 250,000 copies. You may not be impressed by that number, but I am. All of my books have sold less than 80,000, and I lust after the day I can sell 250,000. So he plays in cash games, both in card rooms and online when legal, rather than tournaments. So he's relatively unknown to the non-poker playing world. You haven't seen him on TV that much. But within the poker playing world, he's well known and respected as a writer and teacher. Ed Miller, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for being here. In 30 years, would you rather be remembered as a poker player or as a poker teacher?
Well, I have to say I'm not particularly interested in how anyone remembers me. I guess mostly as a father, I would be my number one answer. But you know, out of those, definitely teacher. I have made my mark as a teacher much more than a player in poker.
Do you take on students?
I do, yeah. I just started about 6 months ago, and I do private students.
Okay, so you don't have group classes, you teach individually.
Yes, for now. I've thought about doing group classes, and I may do that in the future. But
yeah, but you have instructional videos and several books. And you have a new ebook out. So tell us about your new ebook.
So it's called How to Read Hands at No Limit Hold'em, and it's available on my website, notedpokerauthority.com. Just came out on the 18th, so 2 days ago. And it is about hand reading. And, you know, No Limit Hold'em, the key to the game, once you figure out, you know, I shouldn't play King 5 offsuit and let's not just give this guy all my money. Once you get past that stage of the game and you start figuring out, you know, how the sort of dynamics of the game work, the key to getting better is learning to figure out what other players have. And then, obviously, the better you have a sense for that, the better you're going to perform in the game, the better decisions you're going to make. So the book is all about the process of trying to figure out what your opponents have.
Now, you assign homework in the book.
I do. Yes, there's quite a bit of homework.
Now, when I write my column sometimes, I said I'd like the reader to try to figure out where to go from this point and then I'll be right here when you get back.
Right.
Now, I'm assuming somewhere close to 0% do the homework to get from one part of the thing to the next paragraph. So what kind of percentage are you guessing of your readers are going to do your homework?
I don't know. I think a good percentage will at least do some of it. Because first of all, the people who read this book is not for the beginner. This is not for someone who says, oh, I'm interested in poker. Let's read this How to Read Hands ebook Ed Miller wrote. This would be maybe the second or third book you'd read about poker. So most of my readers are already serious about the game, wanting to get better. And this book provides a roadmap for this. Says, you know, it's like if you bought an exercise DVD, you know, you wouldn't just put the DVD in the player, sit on the couch and expect to be buff in, you know, in 10 weeks. You know, you have to go through and
people would pay extra if you could do that.
But I was surprised because usually when a book says, you know, okay, now work this out, well, then a couple of pages later you actually see the answer. But I'm sorry, I got distracted there. But you didn't do that. But I just wanted to say I think that book is really good. And I read Small Stakes, No Limit Hold'em. And I now think that if somebody was coming here and wanted to play for a living, that is the number one book I would recommend. And I would have them start with that book and then go to Reading Hands. I mean, I think you found exactly the, you know, for the beginning player, exactly the way to sort of take them into it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and that would be the order I would recommend too, is to read the Small Stakes, No Limit Hold'em book that I wrote first before the new ebook. Yeah.
Now, is this Reading Hands specifically for small stakes players or for all players, or how is Reading Hands different for small stakes and large stakes?
Well, it's the same process. No matter what stakes you play, it's a process of logical deduction. You start, you know, someone gets dealt two cards. It's two random cards. That's all you know about it. And then they do something. They raise or something. And you use that information to narrow down your range. And then they do something else, and you narrow it down for – it's like playing Clue, but, you know, with poker for lots of money. So that process is the same no matter whether you're playing against, you know, in the 1-2 game or you're playing against Phil Ivey. In the small stakes game, though, players tend to be more predictable. They play in ways that are more reliable, you know, day after day. And from player to player, I can look at a player and then play against a completely different player a week later and still kind of know how they're going to play just because people fall into buckets. So the book is geared towards reading small stakes players and kind of gives you shortcuts based on these things that lots of players tend to do the same way.
So back before the no limit days, everybody was playing limit, and at that time the guys who made a living basically figured they were making one big bet an hour. So if you played 10-20, you could make $20 an hour if you were a good player. How do you figure the win rates for No Limit Hold'em?
Okay, well, I think it actually varies more in No Limit Hold'em because it's possible to be much, much worse at No Limit Hold'em than it is at Limit. No Limit Hold'em lets you make really, really stupid plays that aren't as possible when the betting is limited. In a really, really good game, say, a 2-5 player, an excellent 2-5.
A really, really good game meaning really bad players?
Correct.
Okay.
Meaning you're playing with, you know, a bunch of people who don't know a straight from a flush. And you're an accomplished player. I mean, you could expect in a 2-5 game to make, I would say probably over $70 an hour in that game. Now, if you go to Las Vegas 2-5 game, if you wanted to play 2,000 hours a year, because it matters how many hours you play.
It's 40 hours a week, yeah. 50 weeks a year.
Yeah, if you make it your full-time thing, I would say $30 an hour is a good number.
For 2-5.
Yeah, for 2-5, and maybe $15 an hour for 1-2.
So if a guy wanted to come and really thought, like, I want to go try to make a living at this in Las Vegas, how long do you? I mean, is that very doable? Is that very possible, or is it really hard? And how long before he would know, okay, I'm a winning player? How many hours does he need to log?
Right. Well, so yes, it's doable, at least if $30 an hour cuts it for you. It's doable. And the learning curve, I would say, is actually not that steep to get to the point where you're making consistent money at poker. There's so many bad players still. You know, this is Las Vegas. There's lots of tourists. That to get an edge on the people who have no clue doesn't take a lot of knowledge.
But this is a guy with two MIT degrees who's saying, well, it's not that hard.
Fair enough. But it's not. It's not that hard. But the question about knowing when you're a winner is the tricky one, because there's lots of variance in any sort of gambling. Live poker is notoriously slow. And so really, even after a year, 2,000 hours of playing, I don't know what the actual number is, but I think your win rate could easily be plus or minus 30. You know, so you could easily, you know, if you're theoretically a $30 an hour player, you could play for a year, 2,000 hours, and win $60 an hour. Or you could win nothing.
You could break even for a year a $30 an hour player.
Yes. Wow. So you know, it's hard to know. So it is hard to know. I mean, what happens is people play for 150. I get these emails all the time. You know, I read your book, and you know, I played for 100 hours, and I'm winning at $80 an hour. And you made me rich. And you know, of course, I take the credit, but you know, I mean, in reality, it's not meaningful.
Do you suggest they send 10% of the winning? I suggest that to all my students who are bragging about they just hit Royals.
Yeah.
And the next one who pays me will be the first one.
You know, I remember it was quite controversial 20 or 25 years ago. David Sklansky said that a winning player, and again, this was all limit at the time, he said a winning player could have a losing year. But I didn't think that would still be possible with no limit.
Well, absolutely. And that's actually the good news is the live poker, because online, at least, you know, before we had the legal issues, the games were much tougher. And, you know,
but also much faster.
They were much faster. But so first of all, if you go the same number of hands, you know, 2,000 hours is maybe 50,000-60,000 hands. And it is no problem at all for a good winning player to lose a lot of money over 50,000 hands. That's not even beginning what sample size tells you whether you're a winner or not. We're looking at a million hands. So that would be, what, 20 years of live play, you know, because the edges are thinner online. So it's.
But a million hands might take you 2 weeks online.
You know, when I interviewed Chip Reese when he was still alive, he said he couldn't imagine going more than 2 or 3 weeks losing. That, you know, he just, if he
the
went.
The man ran good. That's,
if
that's
he,
all
if
I'm
he went 3 weeks, he thought, you know, there must be something wrong with the way he was playing, you know. But then that was Chip Reese.
Your website has a rather immodest name called NotedPokerAuthority.com.
Yeah, it was an inside joke from about 8 years ago that now no one remembers.
Nobody knows the inside joke. And good, it helps if you have an ego with that kind of. Now, first of all, to get these books, you were talking about some kind of special deal for our listeners. How does that work on going to notedpokerauthority.com?
So, yeah, my website is notedpokerauthority.com, and you can also just search for me on Google, Ed Miller, Ed Miller Poker. I'll come right up. So I'm selling two of my ebooks on my site, Small Stakes, No Limit Hold'em, which is the one I would recommend. If you haven't read any of my books, I'd recommend you read that one first. And then my new ebook is How to Read Hands at No Limit Hold'em. Those are the ones I'm selling. You can get both books for a $5 discount until the end of October, so through October 31st, if you use the code EDGE, you know, EDGE, when you check out. So just, you know, click on the book and type in EDGE, and you'll get your $5 off.
Good. All right. Now, your website seems to be a pay site.
Yes.
And so you give away some of your articles for free, and you can charge for others. So how much does it cost? What do you get? And what kind of player are you looking to get on your website?
Okay, well, it's $9 a month. So I do have a number of articles for free. It's clearly marked free stuff. You can go there and read all the free stuff and see if you think I have anything worthwhile to say. And if you decide that it's $9 a month, you get access to all my archives, which is basically every article I've written about poker over the last 5 years. It amounts to about 3 or 4 books full of content. I counted the words one day. So it's a lot of content. It's about limit hold'em, no limit hold'em, reading hands, psychology. You know, I've written about all sorts of different topics about poker. So you get access to all of that. And then you get access to all the new articles that I write that come out. And you also, I try to answer personal questions for people that subscribe. You know, so if you send me an email and you say, hey, I played this hand, what do you think? I try to you know, answer those emails from my subscribers. So
you answer them in individual emails, or is this like a bulletin board where everybody sees the answer?
I get a lot of email questions. I'll answer them individually. Sometimes if your question is really good, you get answered in an article. I'll answer. Or you can go to my Facebook page at Ed Miller Author, you know, facebook.com/EdMillerAuthor. And I'll answer there, and then it's like a bulletin board style.
So you had said earlier that you play like 20 hours a week, something like that.
Yeah.
When you go out to play, how focused are you on finding the weakest games as opposed to the closest casino to my house?
Well, it's a little I get kind of lucky because the closest one to my house that has a 2-5 game is Green Valley Ranch, but I play there occasionally. But it's sometimes the wait to get in the game is a little too long, and I'm not gonna wait for an hour. So the closest casino then would be MGM, which I also think has some of the best games in town. So I get best of both worlds there. So I like playing there. I like playing in the Aria, but I don't have enough time to really hunt for the best games. You know, I feel like, you know,
I don't know if it's so much hunting as it is going out on Friday night at 1 a.m. when you know all the drunks are going to be, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, I used to do it. I'm married and have a toddler, and I think my wife would be more than a little annoyed with me if I was out at 4 in the morning every day, you know, playing with drunks. But yeah, I mean, that's for sure. I mean, if you want to make more money, drunks.
5 years ago, you were on a TV show called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yes.
You had a makeover.
Yes.
I can see by the way you're dressed today that this was a total failure, that you remember nothing of what you were taught.
Now, how did that happen? How did you end up on that show?
It was my mom's idea, actually. she watched the show regularly, and she saw that they were coming to Las Vegas. And she said, you should go on it, you know, promote yourself and, you know, get a makeover. and they had an open casting at the Golden Nugget, and I went down there. And I think they liked me because most of the people, you know, there's a big line of, you know, schluppy-looking men. You know, there were maybe 60 of us. And they would call them one after another into the interview room and say, you know, why should you be on the show? And they said, well, look at me. I'm schluppy. You know, and they said, but, you know, what's interesting about you? And they said, well, you know, I'm an accountant and I'm schluppy, you know. And there were like, you know, 59 schluppy accountants. And then I came in and I said, I play poker. I wrote this book. And, you know, and they were like, Vegas, poker. And then that was why they wanted me.
So when you're picking out what you're wearing today,
yes,
do you still hear their voices in your head saying, this goes with this and this doesn't go with that?
It's funny. I actually do. Obviously, I don't always listen to the voice.
Yes, I see you turned them off tonight.
But yeah, for, you know, if you know, yes, I have that with me, and I can turn it on when necessary, I guess.
Well, that's actually a blessing. It's like my wife, when I let my wife dress me, it shows. And when I, she goes, you surely aren't going to go out. Now, people know you. You can't go dressed like that. Comb your hair, blah. I go, goodbye, honey. I'll see you in a while. And so anyway, I don't always listen. But
to me, that was one of the greatest parts about being married was I haven't had to shop for clothes in 20 years, you know. And before I was married, I would have the wardrobe people from the, you know, working on a film. I'd have the wardrobe girls go out and get clothes for me. So I never liked having to buy clothes.
Now, in video poker, mostly we don't worry about cheating. In live poker, what kind of how frequent is it? Is it in a certain game, certain types of games, certain what?
I would say wherever there's money to be made, people are looking to cheat. I mean, that's just human nature, I guess. And there's quite a lot of money to be made cheating poker, especially at higher stakes. There have been massive online cheating scandals. There was a scandal a couple years ago where someone had an account that could see everyone's cards and was playing perfectly against all these high-stakes players and won, I think, $20 million or something was how that ended up. So that's kind of the worst-case cheating. The more run-of-the-mill cheating, people play as teams. So they play partners. They play best hands, so they signal each other. If it's online, they just talk to each other, or if it's live, they signal. And it's can be very difficult to detect that kind of cheating. And you know, the higher you play, you know, the more it's going to happen. And if you play high, you can be basically assured that you've been cheated at least, you know, sometimes.
So in the 2-5 games you play in Vegas, are you thinking there's
I think there's virtually no cheating.
Virtually no cheating.
Yeah. No sophisticated. I mean, people, you know, I've seen people put nails in the car, you know, put little creases in the cards or just really amateur type of I wouldn't even call it cheating. I would call it like angle shooting where they'll short the pot intentionally. You know, they'll throw their chips in and they'll short a chip or two, you know, intentionally, that kind of stuff. But nothing sophisticated where I'm worried that they're going to really take me for lots of money.
Well, if they're marking cards, do you call them on it? What do you do? If you see somebody marking the ace of diamonds, what do you do?
Well, I call for a new deck, and then, I mean, if I – usually I don't see someone do it, but I might see the mark. You know, you call for a new deck, and then you kind of look around and see if anyone's doing it. You see if another card comes back marked, you know, and eventually if it gets – you know. And I was in a game once where – we figured out who did it and kind of and the other players at the table will pick up on it too, especially when you point it out, and they'll watch, and this one guy kept doing it after they pointed it out, and eventually he was asked to leave, but
asked to leave and not come back.
He was probably back 2 days later.
Now, your first book and one of your later books have almost the same title. Your first book is called Small Stakes, Hold'em. Mm-hmm. And one in your next to last book is called Small Stakes, No Limit, Hold'em.
Yes.
I've seen them both. They're almost nothing alike.
Correct.
The first one is menu driven. If you're on the button in this position, you do this. If you're this, you do that. So it's a menu-driven book, and the latter one is more why you're doing and the thinking about it. I don't know. Is that a fair characterization, or?
I mean, I think that's fair. I think there's a little menus I think there's a little of both in each book, but I think that's fair overall.
So how are they different? Is the only difference limit versus no limit, or are there other major differences, co-authors perhaps?
The co-authors are completely different. The Small Stakes Hold'em, it was about limit hold'em. It was written at a time when essentially no limit hold'em played for cash didn't exist, at least in Las Vegas. You know, if you walked into the Bellagio, there was no limit hold'em game. So it frankly didn't even occur to me to put the word limit in the title. And it's you know, it's written for someone who wants to play a game like 20/40 limit hold'em or 40/80 limit hold'em, professionally. And yeah, I would say it's a bit more of a
menu-driven. Small stakes, 20, 40 is small stakes?
Well, I mean, it's small stakes is those games play like small stakes games. So put it that way. if you learn everything in that book and you become proficient, you can play 20-40 limit hold'em for a living.
For the same kind of bankroll that you could play 2-5 no limit hold'em, sort of.
That's about right. Yeah, I would say that's about the right bankroll comparison.
Very good. All right, we got recently in video poker, you've been posting a little bit on VP Free.
Mm-hmm.
And so how much video poker do you play? And so like when I saw your name, I was going, wow, this that was actually the reason you're here tonight is because I saw you posted on VP Free. So if you hadn't posted, you would have never met Munchkin. So.
Yeah. Huh. It's funny. It's like the butterfly in the Amazon. Uh-huh. Yeah, I play sometimes. I actually got into it. It's sort of on my radar. I look for promotions that are really out of the ordinary. I don't you know beat that. You know, if you're gonna play video poker every day, I sort of get the impression at least you have to kind of, you know, have feet on the ground everywhere. You have to scout out a lot of places. You have to, you know, have talk to a lot of people. You have to kind of search out, you know, promotions. I kind of just, if I hear about a promotion that's really, really good, I'll do the math and then I might go play it. That's most of my video. And I got brought to it actually recently, again, by the machines they put in at the M, because I live kind of near the M. And they had those progressive machines at the M that sometimes got up to 101.5%.
I got higher than that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that sparked my interest. So I went and played those machines. Though.
So if you hear about one of these really good promotions, can I give you my phone number?
So I noticed that all your books you've written with co-authors. Why is that? And are you and what are you working on now? What's
okay, well, next? Not all of them. Four of my six have co-authors, and two don't.
They have two co-authors each, so it averages out to at least one co-author.
Yes, correct. I think it just represents that over time I've talked about poker with different people and just gotten input from different people and said, you know, hey, you want to write a book with different sets of people. So that's really the reason I have co-authors on a lot of my books.
And how does that process work? I mean, do you say you take this chapter and he'll take that one, or do you?
It's been different for all the books, but I would say I've done most of the actual writing on all the books, I think. Of all the co-authors I've had, I hope I'm not stepping on anyone's toes when I think most of my co-authors would generally accept that I'm the better writer, you know, of sort of the people that I've written books with. So I've been tasked with actually putting the words on the paper, most of the words on the paper, but not all of them, you know, at all.
What are you working on now?
I just had the new book came out, the new ebook. I have two other books I have in mind. Well, one I've been trying to write for 3 years is a novel.
Don't title it "Sex, Lies, and Video Poker." That one's been taken.
Yeah, I hadn't. No, I think you're safe. I'd like to be a novelist, or at least to write novels. But I'm also planning to write a. I have a short. Book that I'm working on or just starting that's going to be called something like 9 Weeks to Winning No Limit Hold'em, and it's a very short, sort of a quarter of a book, I guess, but online, you know, ebooks can be all different sizes, and it's really just this is what you need to know to go from I put all my money in with nothing to, you know, I'm now a winning player. And I'm going to, you know, it's going to be a couple bucks on Amazon. So that's
so really cheap.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, information that a lot of people will be able to use that's, you know, out there, but that's going to be all in one place.
How long do you think it would take? I mean, for a reasonably intelligent guy, how long to turn him into a winning player? I mean, if he has you teaching him, but a guy who wants to pick up a book, learn to play.
It took me 7 months from basically the first time I sat down and said, I want to get serious about this game.
And you have 2 MIT degrees.
Okay.
So 7.5 months.
True, but the learning materials today are also much better. So that
and the competition's much tougher. So it
yeah.
In all of these games, some people are going to have it easier than
Correct.
Others.
Yeah.
And the learning curve, it's funny. The learning curve for me on blackjack was much harder than it was for some other people. And the learning curve for me on video poker was much easier. And there are other people that it's the reverse. So there's something
Depends
about
on how your brain works. I
yeah, and can you it's a social game. Can you handle the obnoxious people at the poker table? And
right,
there's a different level of obnoxious video poker players, and you can shut them out sometime. We're gonna have to let you go.
Okay.
We thank you very much for being here. And you're well-spoken. We wish you much the best success with your books, the notedpokerauthority.com.
Yep.
If you buy one of these newer books, you get a $5 discount if you put code EDGE, E-D-G-E, in until Halloween. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
So, Richard, what did you learn tonight?
What did I learn? I learned $30 an hour for 2.5. You know, as Tommy Hyland said in my interview with him.
He's a Tommy Hyland, very big blackjack player.
Blackjack player, run one of the biggest teams, you know, for 30 years. He said that it seems to me you have to be really sharp to make $50 an hour playing poker, whereas in blackjack, $50 an hour is nothing. And I think that's still true. I think it's much easier to make money at blackjack than poker. But on poker in poker's defense, you can play all the hours you want and you never get thrown out. So,
well, I don't know. Chino Ream got thrown out kind of recently. I mean, that's something different. Yeah. Although I was curious earlier, we were saying that for this easy baccarat side bet, you could learn to count. It's not that hard. And
right.
You can make $60 an hour, but it's only $60 an hour, so I sweat it.
And I wouldn't play it.
And then, but it's like, you know, being a real good 2-5 player, you're making $30 an hour. And it's much, much more. You could learn that side count a couple hours or so, probably.
But a lot of it is a lifestyle choice. Mm-hmm. Do you like going and sitting at a table for 6 or 8 hours, or do you like being, you know, the thing about advantage players, I mean, table games players, is you're always moving, you're always scouting, you're always looking for the, now once in a while you find the game and you sit down and, you know, you might have an EV of $500 or $1,000 an hour or more, you know, but you might have put in 10 or 20 hours of scouting to find that game, so.
Very good. All righty, let's talk about we're going to talk about our sponsors, but before we do that, let's talk about who's going to be on next week. Next week, Stanford Wong will be making his third appearance on the show. That will make him in first place. There's a couple people, although in a few weeks, I. Nelson Rose will be on for his third time, so he'll be tied with Stanford Wong.
Both of them, it's a first since I've been here, though. So.
Okay, so Stanford Wong is a noted gambling authority on lots of different gambling games. And specifically, we're going to be talking about dice control. Dice control is when you're playing craps with an advantage. So Wong's book called Wong on Dice is a defense and a promotion of dice control, meaning that you can throw the dice and have an edge. He tells you the basics of how to do it, and there's some controversy about this. So we were going to have on Michael Shackelford, who's also been on the show twice, so it would be a tie to see who would be on the most, who's kind of opposed to the idea that you can do dice control successfully in a casino. And so we were going to have them debating pro and con. And then that isn't going to happen. Michael decided that he has a lot of respect for Stanford Wong, and even though he's opposed to this particular position of Wong, he didn't want to have people only know him because he was anti-Stanford Wong, and he's afraid that's how it's going to come out. So he's not going to, Michael's not going to be here. And Wong actually said he thinks he agrees with Shackelford on most of these points, which we're going to have to ask him about.
Seems odd because
it does seem odd.
Yeah.
Because they're opposite. Anyway, that's going to be next week. And good. So the South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games returning more than 99%. That is more than anybody else. As we mentioned, the South Point has free online poker tournaments as we speak. Go to southpointpoker.com. There are hundreds of daily events, some free, some are a few points. They do have a daily game each day, two on some days, so there's a total of nine a week. The winners get together at the South Point Poker Room in a couple weeks after that week. They play. The winner of that nine-person final table gets a $10,000 seat into next year's main event at the World Series of Poker. Double points at South Point this month are happening Halloween, midnight to midnight. You'll see me on the Quick Quads game. This week's free video poker class is called What Video Poker Players Need to Know About Slot Clubs. In video poker today, slot clubs, most of us are playing games that return less than 100% before you include the slot clubs, the promotions, the mailers, and such. Each slot club is different. So we're going to be talking about the differences and how the best slot club for Richard as a out-of-towner are going to be different than the best slot clubs for me as a local. And the best slot clubs for me is going to be different than the best slot clubs for Ed because I play for higher stakes than Ed does. So we're going to kind of give you some parameters on how you break that down and how different casinos have different slot clubs. The Palms Casino. The drawing this month is called the $78,000 Trick-or-Treat Money Bags Drawing. Drawings are held 3 days in a row, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 7 o'clock. At each drawing, five names are selected. You've got to be there to win. And they choose money bags. The money bags average a little under $1,400 a piece, high of $4,000, low of $500. Last Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I was there. I had played 200,000 coin in, had 2,000 tickets, expecting my EV was to be called a little more than once. So I was expecting my EV for that was maybe 1,800, 2,000, something like that. I got called zero times.
Hate when that happens.
And there are other players who played a lot less than that, and they did get called. Rotten bums. So this next week, tomorrow and next weekend, I'm expecting to be more competition for the money bags drawings, simply because the play, earn, and win at the Palms are tool stuff. So like if you play 32,000 points on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you get a DeWalt power
drill,
something like that. I think they're like $90 retail, something like that. There's toolboxes, there's carts, there's...
You look like a real tool guy.
Well, I'm not. And Shirley... So I showed the list to Shirley, and she wants all of them. She says, if you can't play for all of them, you can. It's okay if you don't get me the gloves. Now the gloves are 400 points, and the drill is 32,000. So like, it's really going to save me a lot of work. But I suspect people will be playing more for that than they did for the early part of the month, which was Oktoberfest theme, and you could get $100 food certificates at a Hofbrauhaus. Now, so you're.
And a free bratwurst.
They're not free over there, but they are loud. So so it could be other people are going to disagree as to whether that's which is one's more popular. Now, Tuesday, Thursday, Sundays, you earn at least 25 points, swipe your card, and get a free gift. I've done that twice. I have gotten a multicolored note tablet and a CD carrier, plastic little bag. So they say you can win up to $1,000, but it hadn't happened to me. Okay. At the M, what's going on at the M depends on what day it is. Monday is Mystery Multiplier Day. The Wednesday's free slot tournament and various discounts for seniors. They have a lotto drawing later that night. Fridays, they have a hot seat drawing every 2 hours between 2 and 10. And today is several people got extra multiplier days. They got postcards where one was October 8th and one is October 20th. And some of you may have gotten that postcard and goes, oh, yeah, I haven't done it. Well, you got 4 hours. Although if you're downloading this tomorrow, it was yesterday. They also have such a thing at the M called incentive packages. Players who play, they bribe them to play more. So if you have a history at the M, and if you normally played, let's say you played 100,000 coin in a month, then they might give you an incentive. So if you play 120, you get this much extra. If you play a total of 150, you get that much. And if you play 200, it's going to be this much extra. And the total is going to average somewhere between 0.3 and 0.4 additional. You can play it on point multiplier days. So it is a way, if you qualify for that, for turning in double points into triple points or triple points into fourple points. So you have to be a player to get that, but it makes it a good deal. All right, that's the M. Another one of our sponsors is videopoker.com. So Greg Brown usually comes and talks to us and shares what's going on there. He is he's currently busy. He's learning how to be a referee in a basketball league. He had been a basketball coach for a number of years, so he said, this will be a piece of cake. And he's finding out this cake is tough. Yeah. So Ed will, or Greg will come and talk to us next month, rather. And so he's going to skip this month. So Inel Rose is coming back. Yep. In a couple weeks.
Yep, he's coming up. Avery Cardoza's next week, then Nelson Rose, and then after that, I think...
Well, Wong is next week.
Oh, Wong is next week. You're right. I'm sorry. So then Avery Cardoza, then...
Yeah, Avery Cardoza is owner of the Gambler's Book Club.
He is?
He is.
I didn't know that.
Well, good.
I knew he owned Cardoza Publishing, which is
and
the
And he also owns
Gambler's
Book Club. He's bought it from the Luckmans, and it's now located on Russell.
It's on Eastern, near Russell.
Nope, it's on Russell, near Eastern. This moved a couple times since it was on 11th Street. So it's on Russell.
Wow, I was just there a couple of months ago. Okay. I think it's on Eastern in between Hacienda and Russell.
You're right, it is on the North-South Street. It's on Eastern, good. And he's written his first novel. So we're going to talk to him. The novel's called Lost in Las Vegas. So we're going to talk to him all about that, about publishing books. And he's published some people like Arnold Snyder.
Has a new book coming out. Avery's publishing Arnold's new book. We'll have Arnold on once the book actually comes out.
And is his new book on blackjack or poker?
No, it's a blackjack book.
Very good. All right. So we have 10 seconds left. I want you to all hit lots of royal flushes, and we'll see you Wednesday for what video poker players need to know about slot clubs.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard W. Munchkin. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard W. Munchkin are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa. the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.